From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Game week 32. Which Spurs players for their double? Will Lingard burst his bubble? Does Bruno need a cuddle? We go into a huddle to look at those and other big fantasy questions on the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Hello, Fantasy Manager. Game week 32 awaits us. We've got a lovely lineup for you today, full of tips and hints and that. Julien Laurent, a broadcaster and football writer. Hello, Jules.
Hi, James. Hi, everyone.
A former pro, now hard-hitting football analyst, Sam Parkin.
Hiya, James.
Hi to you, Sam. And also from the FPL family, hello, Lee Bonfield.
Hello, James.
Hello to you. Lee, you wildcarded this week. How'd that go?
Went pretty well. Yeah, went pretty well. There's a few things I wanted to do with the wildcard. One was to... literally, Kane and Lingard were killing me every week. So there was a couple of things I had to fix by getting those guys in. But then went a little bit different with the likes of Iheanacho and Mason Mount, and took Dallas out. So listen, it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows, but generally speaking, it was a step in the right direction. So I'm pleased with it.
All right. I mean, bringing Kane in, taking Dallas out, obviously that part didn't work out too well. Kane and Fernandes were the top two manager picks, and both blank. There were a lot of blankings among the more popular picks. I went with that man, Diogo Jota, who took the occasion to kind of rest his shooting boots, take his shooting boots off. But there were lots of big stories, weren't there, from game week 31, not least the continued resurgence of Big Sam's Baggies. Another three goals. And the shots flying in. They had more shots in the first half of their game against Saints on Monday than they've had for 9 years in the Premier League. Are they on your radar, Jules? Are you going to get West Brom in?
So I had Sam Johnstone in, and then I think he got slightly injured or something, or I changed for keepers who had double game week, something like that. But I thought he was really good, and that clean sheet. Yeah. I mean, Southampton were clearly already thinking about the FA Cup and not so much about that game against West Brom. But so it might not be like this every game. However, I thought defensively they were really solid. And then they've got tough games coming up, and we'll probably talk about that in Longview. But Matheus Pereira is a really, really talented footballer. And I think he takes penalties, or certainly he took this one against Southampton, and he would create chances for you. I'm not sure how many Dyang will score, because he's got the tendency of missing more than actually scoring some. But they clearly have something, and it's a shame in a way that their fixtures coming up are quite tough, because otherwise I think I would probably bring one or two in.
Right, they've got Leicester away. That's next Thursday, a very extended game week at this one. After that, it's Aston Villa away, Wolves at home, Arsenal away, Liverpool at home, West Ham away. That just takes you up to game week 37. I've got 38 in front of me. Sam, what do you think about West Brom?
I think Jules is bang on, to be honest. I think the fixtures concern me, and because the midfield spots are so precious, I find it difficult to make room for Pereira, but he is the one. I had him in the side early part of the season. I like to have that new signing or that championship star to take into his first year in the Premier League, and I certainly am stuck with Pereira for a few weeks. But those fixtures, there's a few derby games there which are a bit of a lottery, but I think they've given themselves too much to do, and I think too much of a risk for the reasons I've stated. In the midfield, so many good options there right now, including some ones that aren't particularly high priced.
Right. Like Jesse Lingard, although his price is going up, up, up. We're up to 6.5 million now. But of course, that's not a problem for us, because we've already got him, haven't we? Haven't we, Jules?
I'm the only one in the country that not to have Jesse Lingard.
Why do you not have Jesse Lingard? It's like free points.
I know, but I thought at some point there would be a deeper form, because he hadn't played for so long that I thought even physically he could not keep going and keep going and keep going. I thought that at some point West Ham would got found out, in the sense that they have one plan, they play one way, and I thought that it'd be a bit tougher for them, but it wasn't. And I have to say that, you know, I got it wrong. He kept scoring, and
he's overperforming his stats as well, isn't he, Jules? I remember you saying just before we came on here, like, the underlying stats don't suggest that this is sustainable, but yet week in, week out, double-digit hauls.
It's crazy. I think his expected goals is something like 2.8 or 2.9, and he scored 8. So I'm like, wow, it's rare that we see such a big difference between how many you're supposed to score and how many you score. I mean, if you believe in stats anyway.
Right.
So again, that was part of my reflection on like, that won't last. Surely it cannot last. And yet he's been lasting for the last, what, 6 weeks or something.
So what are you going to do, Jules? Are you one of those people who the longer it goes on, the more stubborn you get? Or are you going to cave in and get Jesse in?
I can't abandon. Now that I'm on the non-Jesse Lingard bandwagon, I have to stay on it and drive
it. It's not
it
a bandwagon, my own. It's like a scooter. You're the only person on
it. Yeah, but I'm the only one on it, but it's okay. I can't. I will be vindicated this week.
No, you won't.
Jules, trust me, I took that approach with Harry Kane over the last few weeks and it really hurts. So.
Yeah, but there was a marriage there, you know, it's between you and Sam. And
It was a bit more personal. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, but for me, I don't know why. I guess I missed that one and now I'm too stubborn to admit that. You know, I made a mistake.
Come on, Jules. It's never too late to back down.
Okay. Maybe I'll get him this week.
Jules just informed that decision. He is now 6.5 million, which is still cheap, given that he has had the most attacking returns since he started with West Ham. He's had 12. Kane and Fernandes have had 9. Iheanacho, Gundogan, Mahrez have only had 8. All right. Well, let's have a quick think then about who West Ham are playing this week and, in particular, what Spurs are up to, because they are the big feature of Game Week 32. Game Week 32, everyone. Once again, it's an early deadline, Friday evening at 6:30 UK time, 90 minutes before the weekend kicks off with Everton against Spurs. That's one of two fixtures that Spurs will have in Game Week 32. The other one coming later on when they're at home to Saints. That's on Wednesday. So basically, the games are Everton Spurs on Friday, Newcastle West Ham and Wolves Sheffield United on Saturday. On Sunday, Arsenal take on Fulham and Man United host Burnley. Monday, it's Leeds-Liverpool. Remember, that one was 4-3 to Liverpool at Anfield. Tuesday, Chelsea take on Brighton. Wednesday, as I mentioned, Spurs against Saints, Aston Villa against Man City. And then the six-day game week wraps it up on Thursday with Leicester against West Brom. Spurs, with the two games, are the big theme here, really. How many Spurs players have we got in? Who have we got in? What's the big plan, Lee?
So in my wild card last week, I bought in Kane, obviously, famously, but I had Son in there as well. So I think I'm pretty happy to just roll with those two. I think the two fixtures are great, by the way. I think of the two, the Southampton fixture is the one that really catches the eye. Since game week 19, no other club has shipped more goals than Southampton. They are leaking like you wouldn't believe right now. 12 in their last four in particular, and obviously pretty inept against West Brom, as we touched on before. I've also noticed that no team's conceded more goals from the penalty spot in the league this year than Saints. They've conceded 7. So very, very happy to have Kane. I'm sure we'll be talking about captaincy a bit later on. I'm going to supplement him with Son. And I'm probably going to stick with the two. I don't think I'm going to go anywhere else.
Excellent. What about you, Sam?
Yeah, I took Son out last week stupidly and put Kevin De Bruyne in as my captain, which backfired horribly. So Son's going to come back in. And I think Kane's got an unbelievable record against Everton in particular. I think 10 in 12 games in all competitions. And I wanted to, I suppose, make a bit of a case for Lucas Moura. If people were going to go all in on Spurs and go for three representing them. So last 10 games, he's had 2 goals and 4 assists. Doesn't sound great, but previous 16 games, just the 1 goal. So I would say he's very much in form. Jose Mourinho has played him in the last 5, 3 assists in that time as well for a total of 23 points. So I think, you know, that experiment with Bale and Kane and Son, it lasted, what, 1 game, I think, at the Emirates. So Moura's probably a sure starter and doing a lot better in recent weeks.
Which is the other Spurs player that I think quite a few people have mentioned is regularly on, but his numbers really don't back that up. I mean, he passes the eye test perhaps, but in terms of actual returns, not so much. Sam, you're also considering laying down a big fat trip, skip, chip on Harry Kane for this pair of games.
Yeah, just, I suppose, perusing the weeks ahead, this looks like the only viable option, really. I missed out. I think Sam Bonfield played Harry Kane triple captain on the previous double game week, and I was really tempted. The games were unbelievable, and I think he got 1 goal, but as Lee has just spoken of, it can't get any better than this, really. And now that they're chasing, obviously they've got the League Cup final potentially to get them a backdoor route to Europe. But you know, they need to win games, so he's going to play, and I would expect him to get a goal at least and get me up that table.
Yeah, I'm convinced, Sam. I think I'll be joining you on that. What's your take, Jules, on Everton, Spurs and Spurs Southampton?
So I've got Son and Kane, and I'm very happy with them too. The only thing about the Southampton game is that it's just obviously a few days before the League Cup final. And I wonder if Jose will treat that game as a league game that they can still finish top four, but we have to be honest, it's quite unlikely the way they play and the fact that they're so behind, not just one team, but so many teams ahead of them between them and the top four. And I wonder if he will maybe almost treat it like a Europa League game that you have on the Thursday night or in midweek somewhere and make a bit of rotation for that. So you make sure that you don't get a Harry Kane injured or Heung-Min Son or Lucas Moura, because I think Sam is right. He's on really good form. I was at the game on Sunday, and his movement and the fact that every time he gets the ball, he takes on players. He's not scared of going for it instead of just playing backwards like a lot maybe would do. So I'm just wondering about that game against Southampton. That's all. If just in case Jose makes a bit of a rotation just to prepare the League Cup final.
That's a very good point. Very good point. I mean, Harry tends to play whenever and wherever, but for Moura, possibly not. Jules, you wanted to. You've got plans for Arsenal's clash with Fulham. Is it Arsenal players you've got in?
So I've got Saka, and I'm not sure if he will play. We will know a bit more on after Thursday night against Slavia if he's fit for that, or if he might just be too short for the Slavia game, which would mean that he would be, I think, ready for the Fulham game. But I just wanted to chat a little bit about Lacazette, because he was very good against Sheffield United and scored two goals. He's only owned by 8% of the managers. He cost you 8.3 million. So that's still, you know, quite a bit of money. But his points return are like 8, 11 and 13, albeit with a 2 and a 1 in between. But this is pretty decent for a striker who clearly now, I think, has Arteta's favour to play central. He's got a lot of confidence, even if he missed a chance against Slavia, and he was quite devastated about it. But we saw against Sheffield how important it is in the linker play of the team, so he could give you assist as well. And in the finishing, I think, against Sheffield, those goals were so good, and I think that will give them some confidence going into that Fulham game.
Yeah, he's pretty close to his best season, Jules, I think, as well, isn't he? I think his best season was 14 goals, 17, 18. I think he got 14. So he's one away from that. He must have that in his sights in terms of wanting to break that record.
Yeah, definitely. And at training, he works a lot with Thomas Partey. And we saw on his second goal against Sheffield United, the relationship between Partey with the ball through at the right time, the right tempo, the run from Lacazette, which is something that they work on at training. So I wonder if at some point... And Arsenal have a really good fixture list coming up, not just this Fulham game, but even after that. So it might be interesting to maybe put Lacazette.
Those Arsenal fixtures in full are Fulham this weekend at home, then Everton at home, which is red on the FDR, but I'm not so sure about that. Newcastle away, then West Brom at home, which might be less blue than the FDR thinks it is, and then Chelsea and Crystal Palace. Interesting. Who have you got as your three forwards at the moment then in your squad, Jules?
I've got Bamford and Kane and Antonio, the third one, who is obviously, again, as we've mentioned a lot, I think Sam mentioned it last time we were together, fitness-wise, he's always a bit of a worry.
Right.
So I've got enough money in the bank to sell Antonio and bring Lacazette in, which I think I will do.
Okay, we'll hear more about transfers later on. But interesting shout. You're not tempted by any Fulham players given their current slump? Four straight defeats, I imagine, Jules.
No.
No, good. Right, yeah, Lee. Tell us all about Leeds-Liverpool. As I mentioned, 4-3 at Anfield. This was a thriller with points galore for those clever enough to be on the players involved. Who are you tipping this time?
Yes, I think it's got the potential to be just as open, actually, this time round. If I think about, you think about where Leeds are in their season, they're not going to go relegated. They're probably not going to challenge too much at the top of the table. So they're kind of in this kind of mid-table... I want to call it a no man's land, but you could forgive them for being on the beach, couldn't you, a little bit, and having the flip-flops out already. But I don't think Bielsa is that sort of manager. I don't think he will allow that. So all of a sudden, you're talking about a Leeds side that are playing without any pressure, with a bit more freedom. I think this is a real banana skin game for Liverpool. And I do think that it's, you know, you should be looking at the Leeds fixtures going forward and looking at, say, Manchester United next week or Spurs in a couple of weeks from now and thinking, actually, I may not captain somebody and that Leeds are playing. I think Leeds are a very dangerous team going forward. But this game in particular, Liverpool, thankfully, from my perspective, have shown a little bit of form, certainly in the league of late. Obviously, got the big Real Madrid tie to come. We're recording this just before the tie, so we'll see how that turns out. But it's got the potential to be a pretty open game. Jota is in my FPL team, as is Trent Alexander-Arnold. They were the two that I bought in on the wildcard. I'm not concerned about the Jota pick. Obviously, it's Salah that got the goal. So if you're on him, he continues to tick over. Whether ticking over is enough. But Jota, I think, still represents outstanding value. Could have had points last game week. He's going to cost you about half of a Mo Salah. So he's still really good value. The question for me is, do you continue to invest in Leeds players? I mean, I got rid of Dallas, Rafinha and Bamford on my wildcard last week, which didn't go that well, actually, when you think back to the Man City performance. I think if I had my time again, I think I'd be tempted to keep at least one of them, maybe even two, given what I've just said about the newfound freedom that they might play with.
All right. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I can't disagree too much. I think it would be a good open affair, I would imagine. I can't think really outside Jota, Salah, Trent Alexander-Arnold in terms of assets that I'd be interested in from a Liverpool perspective. I think Salah's really come back into form. Had 23 shots against Villa. He had 7 of them. He had the most against in the previous game against Arsenal as well, where they were looking back to their deadliest best, really, in terms of their attacking play. So I think I'd like to get Salah in. I think Bamford's dropped off a little bit, still joint fourth highest scorer in the division. But in terms of the chances that he's getting, I noted that he only had 4 shots in the last 4 appearances. You go back 4 previously, he had 3 times that amount. And in terms of the XG, there's 23 players with a higher XG over the last 10 games than Patrick Bamford. So that just shows you that he's normally a dead cert to get 4 or 5 efforts every game, decent chances. That doesn't seem to be happening right now. So,
and he kind of needs 4 or 5 decent chances, doesn't he?
That's the reason why I've just been toying with it throughout the season. And, you know, you watched him in the Championship last year and certainly needed a few opportunities to score. And that's why I haven't always banked on him this year. But he's kind of been someone who has come back to bite me on many occasions. But I think right now there's better options. Watkins certainly in the same price bracket. Probably Callum Wilson coming back into full fitness as well could be an option.
Interesting. Jules, what do you think? Did Lee blow it by getting rid of his Leeds players? And what Liverpool have you got or are getting?
I like I don't have Jota, but I like the Jota idea, of course, even if he's owned by, I think, 16.5% of the managers,
60?
Which is a lot.
Yeah.
16.5, yeah.
I don't think Sadio Mane owns him in his FPL team.
No, I'd be surprised. But I still have Rafinha because I still think that, especially like Lee said, with the freedom that they will play on, or certainly the lack of pressure because they're up and they're going to stay up. And the only way for them is to keep winning and playing well. And I think they will enjoy that massively, especially against the Liverpool team that will play with such a high line that there will be a lot of space for Rafinha to run into and everything. And I still think the game against Manchester City, Rafinha could easily have 2 goals and 2 assists in that game. He's still so good, even if for us he doesn't always have the return that he should have had, but he's just so good. So I'm really tempted to keep Rafinha on this.
He's the opposite to Lingard, isn't he, Jules? He's the one with all the underlying stats. He gets all the chances, yet we don't seem to have the FPL returns that we'd hope from Rafinha. He's at the anti-Lingard.
And also, because I mentioned him a long time ago on this show, he's my baby. I have to stick with him.
All right, nice one, Jules. Hey, tell me a little bit about Chelsea's clash with Brighton, because Chelsea have started to score goals in the league, at least 6 in the last 2 matches, after the slightly more conservative scorelines that they were putting out in previous games under Tuchel. Have they now settled, or has he now settled on his front three? Should we be piling our money into the likes of Kai Havertz? I think a lot of us have Mason Mount, maybe even Christian Pulisic as well.
Yeah, so on Tuesday when I prepared for the show, I thought, okay, we saw Havertz at his best against Crystal Palace. He was so good in everything he did. Pulisic and Mount behind him, those three work so well. Mason Mount after the game coming out and say, we work so much at training, now we've got this understanding, we play so well together, blah, blah, blah. I go, okay, great. This is my point for the show. Havertz in, 3% of the owners, 8.2 million, he's on top form, and then he plays against Porto and he has a stinker. And I know it's a different game because they just wanted to defend their lead and they didn't really want to attack, and I get it. But now I'm not so sure about Havertz anymore. So Pulisic, I think, has something now that maybe he didn't have earlier in the season. He's got his mojo back. That those quick feet are incredible, really. I'm not sure if there's better than him on the first 2 yards once he gets the ball in the whole of the Premier League. He's so good at turning around. He's so good at in those first 2-3 yards. So maybe Pulisic is a bit better. Again, very low ownership, 2.3%. Same price as Havertz, which is still cheaper than a lot of the players in those in that profile. But the Porto game really sort of like made me doubt again about Chelsea assets for the weekend.
I hear what you're saying, Jules, about the Porto game. It, what a contrast to go from playing Crystal Palace and then playing Porto. I mean, the quality of the opposition there. I mean, Havertz did play very, very well against Palace, no doubt, as did Chelsea. But goodness me, Palace weren't very good at all. But if you look at the Chelsea fixtures coming up, they've got Brighton and Fulham at home, two of the next three. So the opposition that's coming up for them in the Premier League is more akin, I would suggest, to a Crystal Palace and a Porto. And if Havertz does keep that out of position, sort of false nine spot, then I think I'd back him to do all right.
Sam, what about West Ham Newcastle? We've touched on Lingard and the fact that Jules absolutely should get him in. This game, Newcastle as an adversary, shouldn't really dissuade him, I imagine. Any other players we should be considering? And what do you make of Sam Maximan and his extraordinary 8 minutes last weekend?
Maybe too soon to think about Sam Maximan for me and maybe Callum Wilson. But I'd like to see how Wilson in particular beds back in, because I think at his price point, you know, competing with Bamford and Watkins and the like, he could be attractive proposition in the weeks ahead. I think this is a really interesting game because if you think back, Newcastle won quite convincingly at West Ham at the start of the season, and it's the only game that they've lost against teams in the bottom half. So it's whether you think that lightning can strike twice. I don't think it will, and I don't think it will be a high scoring encounter like West Ham's recent games. The reason for that is I just don't think that space for Lingard and Bowen in particular to carry will be there. I think a point is a good result for Newcastle. So I think they'll probably close down that space and maybe it will be won by the odd goal. That's why I think Souček is still really important going into this game. I would be tempted by Bowen, but not for this fixture. I think having him and Lingard together was a masterstroke the other day against Leicester, because to put Bowen centrally in the place of Antonio would have been a huge onus on him to get the team up the pitch and kind of replicate what Antonio gives them. So to have the two buzzing around, I thought was a really good bit of tactical work by David Moyes. And Bowen just gets better and better. And last three games, 6 shots, James, in the box, 4 on target. He had 8 shots in the previous 28 game weeks. Crikey. Which just shows you where he's at.
Well, here's some more Bowen numbers. Last three game weeks have seen him notch up 8 points against Arsenal, 6 points against Wolves, and then 12 points against Leicester because he's playing up front with the absent Antonio, or in place of the absent Mikel Antonio. Why wouldn't that continue, Lee and Jules?
Yeah, he's in great form, isn't he? He's in great form, as are West Ham. But just a word of caution over the opposition, though. We've kind of quite flippantly gone, oh, it's only Newcastle, you know, this form should continue. But have only been beaten once in their last six, Newcastle. You know, they've got something to fight for. They're being very hard to beat right now. A lot of draws in that last six. So the answer to your question could be, you know, Bowen's form might not continue. Lingard's form might not continue because Newcastle might just dig in and make it difficult for them.
Yeah, I agree completely with what Lee just said.
Well, one or two thoughts there about game week 32. But what lies beyond? Let's check that out next in the long view. Long view. I've got my FDR chart in front of me for the next six game weeks. Full of blues and reds and a bit of grey as well. You can find this, of course, at fancy.premierleague.com. And it's an invaluable tool for planning things, not least because for 32, it's got the fact that Spurs have got two games and nobody else has. And then in 33, oh my dear, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 black holes there. 4 teams who aren't going to have a fixture. Crystal Palace, by the way, don't have a fixture in game week 32. But 33, Man City, Southampton, Fulham and Spurs don't have a game. What's the plan, everybody? Lee?
Well, certainly from a Spurs perspective, you want to get in as many as you can for 32 or as many as you feel like. But then it's very much a benching, isn't it, for 33, because you want them back for that Sheffield United game. And even beyond that, you know, Leeds and Wolves and Aston Villa are the sort of games where I think you'd want Spurs players. The only thing that would put me off that strategy is if over the course of the double game week between Everton and Southampton, if they don't improve their form, that's the thing for me. I mean, it's a classic FPL conundrum, isn't it? Fixtures versus form. And if you look at the FDR chart here, you'd say absolutely they've got the fixtures to finish the season strongly. But they're not showing great form, are they? Certainly haven't, I don't think, since they unceremoniously got dumped out of the Europa League. So Depends if you play on form or depends if you play on fixtures. But if you're looking purely at the fixtures, then Spurs look great and you just bench them in 33 to bring them back in 34.
But the problem is you've also, I think most of us, got Man City players. And what are you going to do with them? Are you going to bench them? There's only three spots on your bench.
Yeah, more difficult, I would say, with Manchester City. And certainly on the wildcard last week, I got rid of a couple of my Man City players. The one that I kept was the one that I thought was assured of a start, which was Ruben Dias. And he didn't start in the previous game week. So again, you're going to get that with Manchester City between now and the end of the season. The, you know, the Pep roulette is well documented and well, we speak about it a lot on these podcasts. And it's going to go into overdrive, you'd expect, between now and the end of the season.
So probably the best plan is to bench Spurs for you, Lee, and just get rid of Man City, because they're going to be too risky anyway. Jules, where do you, what's your strategy for 33?
I'm with Lee completely. I will keep Kane and Son and put them on the bench. And I'm going to sell or let go, get rid of some of the City players, because I've got Stones, Gundogan and Cancelo, and you just never know when they play. And we record this before their return leg against Borussia Dortmund. And if they do qualify for the semi-final of the Champions League and very soon win the Premier League as well, plus the League Cup final, plus the FA Cup if they're still in it as well. Yeah. There'd be so many games that you could see Pep almost having a different 11 every single Premier League game between now and the end of the season, which you can't take those kind of risks for your FPL team. So I'm sorry for Man City fans and Man City players, but I would get rid.
Au revoir, says Jules. What do you think, Sam?
Merci.
Yeah, I'm completely on board with the fellas. Harry Kane is going to be on my bench, but I probably will have Heung-min Son in this weekend and then use that money to bring Salah back in for the nice-looking fixture at home against Newcastle. But my team's looking okay at the moment. And I think for next week, I'll have, with those couple of changes, I'll probably have Iheanacho and Watkins as a front two. The midfield five won't change, and then I'll leave that lovely little wild card that I've got still in my back pocket, James, for maybe the penultimate two or three game weeks of the season.
Interesting.
But I was hoping that maybe I'd get some good advice from some people who are well-versed in using their chips too.
You were hoping.
I'm right here for you. So, okay, before the actual experts speak, let me just say that you've got three chips available. Bench boost, triple captain, and this wild card still, Sam Parkin has. My kind of immediate reaction would be that of those three, two of them have immediate returns on that one game week and that one game week alone. But the wild card is a slow burner. So for me, you want to play it earlier rather than leave it to the last couple of weeks, because that's when, you know, it's going to be a one that delivers week on week out. What do you think, Jules and Lee, though?
Yeah, I'd agree with that, James. I would say if you're leaving the wildcard until the penultimate week, you're kind of minimising the impact of it, aren't you, really? You're kind of minimising the benefit that you can get from it. But listen, everyone, you know, every FPL manager will play their wildcard at a different time. And if, Sam, you're happy with your team, then you're happy with your team. That, you know, despite the fact that you won't get any long-term benefit from the wildcard, in the last two game weeks, I'd expect you to smash it, right? So yeah, play it whenever you feel like it. But for me,
you'll be like West Brom, racking up the big points when it's too late.
But Lee,
just when no one expects it. Yeah.
Surely not to have Harry Kane as triple captain this week is criminal, right?
I think if you've got the chip still in your pocket, you're at a massive advantage over a lot of other people, because it's a chip that most FPL managers have spent by now, Sam. So yeah, there are other double game weeks on the horizon, we expect. I think 35 or 36 could be big. But listen, Harry Kane, two really good fixtures. Blanking in the last game week does not put me off. I think it's a really good week to play it. I will just, you know, what Jules said before is absolutely spot on. You've got to be a bit careful that Jose doesn't rest him ahead of that Carabao Cup final, which I don't expect to happen, but you wouldn't be surprised, would you, if you were Jose? And then if you've used your triple captain chip, you might be a bit disappointed at that. But I wouldn't let that put you off, Sam. I think it's the right week to play it.
Jules?
I mean, listen to this advice, best advice. Just don't play your wild card this season. It's just overrated. You don't need to. And so I can catch you up as well between now and the end of the season.
There you go. All right, then. Well, returning our thoughts to the upcoming game week 32, our big Twitter question this week was, who are your three most important players for this round of fixtures? We'll get some listener answers after this. This week's question with the hashtag FPLPod was, which three double game week 32 players are the most important to own. Not surprisingly, a lot of listeners responding with Spurs names. Ippy says Kane is the key man, Moura because of the fine form he's in, and Son because I expect that link up between him and Kane to kick back in. Jamal says Kane and Lingard at the moment, and Bruno scripted Osura has Kane, Leno and Lingard. Interesting shout there for Leno, actually. Mbechu has got Lingard, Jota and Watkins, and Benito's got Lingardinho, Pereira and Salah. Some interesting choices there, actually, you know, beyond Harry Kane, duh. But what do you guys think? What are your three key players for this weekend, Jules?
No, yeah, I think Lingard, of course. I think he and Acho, as we mentioned, they're probably the two most informed players. And then you have to look at Harry Kane. Okay, the game against United was disappointing, although he's at the start of the goal. But I think Kane, Lingard and Iheanacho for me this week should be in anybody's team.
Okay. Sam Parkin?
Yeah, Spurs aside, I would probably say Iheanacho, definitely with the two home fixtures coming up. I would say Mo Salah, the form that he's come into, three in the last three. I think he scored against Madrid as well. And Pulisic, I think, is a really nice option considering those two goals against Palace and coming right back into form as he did at the tail end of last season.
Mm. Lee Bonfield.
Yeah, agree with the guys. I think we haven't discussed Manchester United much on this podcast, have we? But let's not overlook the fact they've got Burnley at home. A Burnley who are likely to be without Nick Pope, I think. I don't think he's going to be fit for the game. And a Burnley side that, over the last few weeks, have thrown a bit of caution to the wind, I've noticed. Their underlying attacking stats seem to have improved, but to the detriment of their defence at times. So, you know, leaving space in behind for the likes of Rashford, you know, going for somebody like Bruno Fernandes. I mean, there's a lot of FPL managers I've spoken to on Twitter that are thinking of selling Bruno Fernandes, which it seems incredible to me. I mean, the form, okay, maybe he's having a bit of a dip, but class is permanent and he's been fantastic for us over the last, well, since he's been here, frankly, last 18 months. So, you know, if it wasn't for Spurs having the double game week, I think we would have more of a discussion around, you know, Bruno captain or bringing in someone like Marcus Rashford.
That's a really interesting point, Lee. All right, next up then, let's hear what transfers and captaincy picks we're going to make for Game Week 32. Who's already made their transfer for Game Week 32?
Nope.
I brought in Iheanacho early doors. I feared the price rise. What are you planning to do, Sam Parkin?
Yeah, I'm on Iheanacho.
Wild card, Sam.
No.
Triple captain
this weekend.
But are you going to do a transfer?
I'm going to do probably two. I'm going to do Iheanacho for De Bruyne. You know, after negotiating that new contract and the data analyst stroke agent getting all those numbers to the Man City hierarchy, I thought that Leeds game was made for him last week. So he has burnt me, Kevin De Bruyne. He's off-ski. Son's going to come in for him. And Iheanacho for Calvert-Lewin, who... Right. He's a bit up and down right now and obviously got a little bit of a niggle as well. So that'll be my two changes. And obviously, Harry Kane will be wearing the armband times three.
Times three. Wow. What a responsibility for Harry. Lee, transfers?
This is very easy this week. I'm not making a transfer this week. I did the wild card. I set myself up for the next few game weeks. So my team looks pretty good. I don't feel like anyone needs to come in or out. And Kane's going to get the armband. Yeah, really straightforward week for me this week.
All right. And what about you, Jules?
I like the Pulisic idea. I agree with the boys. I like Iheanacho as well. No Jesse Lingard still. I can't do that to myself. And like I said, too. So I'll wait a bit. I see the midweek games in Europe, the Arsenal Slavia, the what City do as well, what Liverpool do too for Jota. And then I'll make a call, but it would be around those players. Anyway.
Okay, from your existing squad, who would be wearing the armband?
Has to be Kane for the double game week anyway. I don't have the luxury of Sam, so I would keep him. I would keep him captain for two games. It's good enough.
All right. Well, a consensus for Harry Kane then. Excellent. Best of luck, everybody, with Game Week 32. If you're after some more advice and tips and content and that kind of thing as you plan your squad for the weekend, then get across to fancy.premierleague.com. There's also the FPL show with myself and Jules Breach. It is an early deadline again this week, and it will be next week too, Friday 6:30, for the foreseeable future. So keep that in mind as you do all your moving and shaking. For now, many thanks to Sam and Lee and Jules for being with us. Best of luck to you for the weekend. We'll catch up with your listener next Wednesday. For now, from all of us here, it's goodbye.